Good morning. That was a golf clap. Come on, let's give a big hand clap this morning. So wonderful to have all you guys here and to just be a part of our family today. And got so many. I'm not going to get started because I've had surprise this morning. People that has moved and come back 2 weeks in a row. So. But I'm going to start naming names, but I'm just glad that all of you are here. And if you are a guest here, we're so glad to have you. And if you're looking for a church home, we love you. And we just want to make you part of our family. And so it's just great, 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 great to have you today. I just love the presence of God that's in this place today. And quite honestly, I was trying to tell them, sing the bridge again, and they didn't hear me. I thought if they'd sing it a couple more times, we just wouldn't even have any preaching. We just all just go up in the rapture. It was so awesome. And such a beautiful presence of God here today, and such a sweet presence of God today. And I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about tonight. So all the ladies in the house, come tonight, and just going to be a great time. And I promise you, you'll be blessed. And you'll be blessed in two ways, because if Tessie's speaking tonight, you'll be blessed because she'll bring a good word, and you'll be entertained because she's crazy. And so you'll get to, so it'll be fun all the way around. And you might get to do some dancing and some exercise. I don't know what all is going to happen. It's going to be fun. I promise it's going to be fun because she's so much fun. And if I didn't have to go to Awake tonight, I'd be like running sound or something just so I could come in. But it's going to be a great time. So be here tonight. You're going to have a blast, and it's going to be amazing. I'm just really excited because we talked about last week about serving. Listen, when we get to preach about serving, like, that's my heart. And so I love it. It's just part of who we are, what we do, what we care about, because it's the heart of Jesus. And Jesus loved serving. He came to serve. He loved serving. It should be a part of our everyday lives. And I just love the message of serving, because I believe the message of serving is where we as the body of Christ really get to know one another. We get to walk with one another, and we get to be a part of each other's life. But the topic today is serving the one, which brings it to a new level, because that is really where, you know, I told you last week that I get my energy. I really get a lot of energy from sitting down with someone and just sharing life with them. And so many times when we talk about discipleship, or we talk about getting that opportunity to sit down with people, we think in discipleship it's telling someone how to live their life. Really, it's us helping them to go where we've been and sharing life together. It's not really about me instructing you as much as me walking with you. And that we all walk together in this life. Now, here's the thing that I was thinking about a while ago when Michelle said what she said. We walk together whether we like it or not.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? You live life with people whether you like it or not. You work with people whether you like it or not. You go to school with people. You go shop whether you like it or not. So why not just like it?
Right. Amen.
It makes it a lot more fun when you just love it. When you just get up every day and like, woo, today's going to be awesome because I get to encounter people. Today I get to share my life with people. And so it's a blessing and it's an honor to get to do that. And serving and loving people is really not hard when we see it through the eyes of the Father. Because he put so much in us to begin with. Your life is filled with goodness. Your life is filled with greatness. Your life is running over with supernatural things. It really is. And so many times the reason our life is not just overflowing with all the supernatural is because we forgot what it's for. It's for others. And so we kind of put a cap on our life inadvertently just by living our life in this crazy busy world and not taking the time to see the people that are around us. You know, I'm kind of getting older in life, and Jimmy and I was sitting last night in the rocking chair and talking about getting older in life. And how many things change when you get older?
You're getting older.
Yeah. I said I'm getting older. And how many things change in our life? I remember when I was younger, I was always like, let's move, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I still like to go. But there's something about me I've also learned to pause. Because it's in the pausing, it's in the moments when you pause that you hear. He didn't say, be busy and know that I'm God. He said, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Stop in the moment and pause. And when we stop and we begin to pause, we begin to see the things that are most important in our life. Listen, all the stuff that we accumulate in life is not really all that important. And I don't mean this to be to bring up a sore subject, but oftentimes when a disaster like the recent disasters that we've had, and people's houses flood and they lose all their stuff, and in the moment, it's the worst thing that happened to them. But then life happens, and they regroup and they go on because it's stuff. Not that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. But it doesn't matter eternally. It matters for the moment. But when we learn to pause and take a moment in life and see people, that's a whole nother thing. Because people matter forever.
Amen.
Anybody with me today?
Yes. Amen.
Let's just go like this. Like, yeah. People matter forever. Stuff doesn't matter. Stuff doesn't matter. Sure, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about when I walked in your house and you just devastated. Can you come up here for a minute? Would you mind? First of all, let's give her a hand because she's an overcomer. So a few months ago, I walked in her house and she was in the flood. I'm telling you, her house was devastated. I mean, I don't know how much water you had, but
15 inches.
15 inches of water, and
twice,
not once, but twice. And her house was completely devastated. But there was bigger things going on in her life that was more devastating than her house. Family issues that were just really devastating. And in the moment when she stood there, hopelessness was resting all over her. I mean, you could just see the fear in her eyes. There was no way out. This is over for me. I'm done. I'm done. And in that moment, God began to give me a word for her. I'd never met her before. And I just began to speak life over her. And I began to tell her all that God had created her to be. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of what went bad. I'm going to tell you what has gone good. And since that moment when she looked to God and to people, she had to trust people.
Amen.
She had not just to trust God, but she had to let people walk with her. And we began to walk with her, and we sent crews over to clean her house out, and we began to get people to donate sheetrock, and we began to get people to donate cabinets to her, and then people donated carpet to her, and people began to come from all over the place that people she's never laid eyes on before, never met before, but God knew them.
Amen. Right.
And God knew. And he put all of these people in her life. And so just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I got the privilege of going and walking into her new home. Not the old home, because, oh, let me back up. She was already had that house for sale, and it wasn't selling. But what the storm meant to be destruction, she got a brand new house, and she sold it in 24 hours after she put it back on the market for not full price, but $500 above full price.
Amen.
Bonus, baby. I don't know how that happens. Can you come pray over my house? I'm just trying to sell. And just... You know, and God showed up.
Amen.
And so a few weeks ago, we went and seen her new home, and we took her out to dinner. Actually, she took us out to dinner. And I just got to just look in her face and see the joy in her face and see her eyes light up and see the beauty of God in her heart. And we could go on, she could go on, and we're going to do this on video, but there's just story after story after story that's happened between the day I walked in her house and now. Let me tell you something. Can I hold your hand?
Sure.
All right. It's because she allowed people in her life to walk with her.
Amen.
And there's so much power when we understand that when we walk with people, it's not just for the moment, but it's for eternity. It's for eternity, and it matters. It matters. And God put us together to walk together, Amen. To live together, to cry together when things are bad, to rejoice together when things are good. But we're called to serve the one.
Amen.
To serve the one. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for what he's done in our life. There's so many things that I could walk through this place today, because I've walked with many of you, and I could tell you story after story that's just as awesome as that story. Because we walk together, we serve the one. God, there's no accidents in this life. There's no, it was no accident. It was God-ordained moments that God puts together. And so we love ministry. We love serving around here. We love to give our hearts. We love to clean out houses. We love to do all of those things. But I'm going to tell you, the most powerful thing in our life is when we become a life that's outside of the program of serving, that's outside of the called days of serving, but we live a life of serving. And it becomes our very reason to live. I believe that God gives us moments that we get to serve, moments we get to invest, moments we get to have encounters. And many times, the one that others overlook and choose not to serve because the world around them is way too busy, God puts us in those lives for the moment. The moment. And God loves people. God's love is so rich in this house today. God's love is so amazing. Nothing's going to change your life like the love of God. Nothing. The other day I was on my way to Lowe's, and I was like, God, I hate going to Lowe's. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Even so, Lord, let Home Depot come quickly. And I don't like to go to Walmart either. So, you know, I'll find any excuse not to go. If they had hardware at Circle K, I'd go pay the extra price to keep from going to Lowe's. And so I'm on my way to Lowe's, and I told Angela, I was on task, and I was just like, I'm on a mission here, and so I need to hurry, and I got to, you know, when you're in the middle of doing a project at your house, and you want to go, and you just want to get the stuff and get back, and you got to get it done. And so I was on the way there, and I was talking to Tim on the phone, and I was like, ugh, I'm pulling into Lowe's. Pray for me, man. And now I'm just going to be truthful. And I was in that mission, so I was thinking, now, Lord, I really don't want to talk to anybody. Now, you know, if you know me, you know I love to talk, like, for hours. But I'm on a mission, God, so, you know, I just want to get in, get out. So have all the saints be healed and healed today, and have everybody good, and just make a way, Lord. Open up the Red Sea. Honestly. And I parked my car, and I get out, and I heard, Martin Poe. I said, now, I can just pretend I didn't hear that, and I can just go on. And I was like, oh, man, I did not hear that. And I looked over, and it was my friend Jimmy who's sitting here on the front row. And we've been friends for 30-plus years. And we stood in Lowe's, and we talked about the goodness of God. I believe it was a God encounter. I believe it was a moment when you're in your life and you're busy doing whatever you want to do, and God says, hey, Marvin Poole. Now, it was Jimmy's voice, but it was really the voice of God saying, stop for a moment. There's a moment right here that you need to deal with something. You need to take time out of your life because people matter. People matter. I love the story. I love many stories. And you'll always hear me say when I'm preaching, this is my favorite story in the Bible, because they're all my favorite story. But this really is one of my most favorite stories in the Bible. And it's the story of when Jesus came to the woman at the well. And look, I'm going to step outside and just have, and I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I can't prove this scripturally, so this is my own theology, and you can like it, leave it, whatever. But I believe that when Jesus got to the well, that there was something inside of him that was expecting a moment. And so he sent his disciples away to go get food. And as he sat at the well, I don't think he was just like having a time out. I think Jesus was anticipating what was about to happen. So the woman comes to the well, and it's a very awkward time for her to come to the well. It's the middle of the day. She was alone, and she comes to the well. And Jesus begins to minister to this woman, and he says to her this phrase that I'm going to give you the shorter version of the story, but he says to the woman, if you knew what I have to drink, you'd never thirst again. What I have for you to drink that's going to change your life. Now, we know the story of the woman at the well and how he went through the steps of asking her about her personal life and where she was at. He knew her heart, but more than that, he didn't know where, just know who she was. He knew where she was going. And he invested his time not in her past, but in her future. He loved the one. He made time for the one. He took out of his busy schedule of life for the one. And then another story in the Bible is Zacchaeus. And I love that story for this reason. I love how he was taught in Sunday school. You know, Zacchaeus was the wee little man, and he climbed up in the tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And we talk about how Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. And that is a great story about how we'll do whatever we need to do to see Jesus. That's a great story. But there's a greater story than that. Jesus was in a crowd of people. Zacchaeus had to get up in the tree simply because of the crowd of people, because of the surroundings. It was too many people for him to see from the place that he was at. So we know it was a bunch of people. And Jesus could have been caught up in the moment he was in when everybody was following after him for a miracle. Now, Jesus never had this heart, obviously, but it could have been that rock star moment where he was caught up in the miracle business, where he was caught up in the crowd, where he was caught up in all the people around him. But not only did Zacchaeus climb up in the tree to see Jesus, but Jesus looked up in the tree to see Zacchaeus. And to me, that's the most powerful story of all, that Jesus stopped in the middle of his busyness and he saw the one. Now, he didn't say, hey, be blessed, dude in the tree. Hey, dude in the tree up there, hey. You know, you're so cool, man. Here's my autograph. Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Because I'm going to go spend some time with you. I'm going to come and break bread with you. I'm going to come to the more intimate place with you. I'm coming to your house. It's one thing to have Jesus meet us at the grocery store. It's another thing to have Jesus come to the house. And when he sat down with Zacchaeus, he knew the reputation that Zacchaeus had, but he didn't care. He didn't care about what others may have cared about. He didn't care about what others may have thought because he cared about the one. I'm so glad that Jesus cared about the one. Amen. I'm glad he cared about what he was created, what Zacchaeus was created to be, and not what people thought of Zacchaeus. There's a man in my life. He's getting up in age. His name is T.F. Tenney. He's Bishop Tenney to me, and he's my spiritual father. And over 30 years ago, when I came to the Lord and gave my life to Christ and I answered the call of God on my life, he believed in me. And he brought me to this youth camp where there was thousands of kids that would come through for 3 weeks, from very young to up in teenage years, and then camp meeting with when the adults would come, and family camp. And so 4 weeks of just camp and all these thousands of people coming through. And he said, hey, come on, I want you to come work on the staff. I want you to be a part of the team. Well, people came to him and said, hey, do you know who that guy is? Yeah, I know who he is. Do you know last year he just wasn't but a few months ago he was dealing drugs? Yeah, I know that. Do you know that you got him working out here with all of our girls, all of our kids? Yeah, I know that. You see, here's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing when someone can see your future and not get hung up on your past. When others may say, you're not worthy, you're disqualified, they see the goodness of God in you and says, God's qualified you, I qualify you. Right. Or better yet, God's qualified you, so I can't disqualify you. Right. Yeah. And I stand here today because someone was willing to walk out life with me. Was I broken? Yes, I was broken. Was I messed up? Yes, I was messed up. It wasn't like he put me in there to teach. I was just emptying the trash. I was the garbage man. I was driving around in the truck picking up all the trash. But you know what? For me, it was a blessing. Because it wasn't about the trash. It wasn't about being on the team. It was about somebody investing their time into my life because they saw that I mattered. God's called us to love the one. In Luke 15, the scripture talks about when the man, you having 100 sheep and having lost one out of them, doth not leave behind the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the lost one till he may find it. And having found it, he doth lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing, having come to the house. He calls everybody together, all of his friends. I love that part because I like to party. He gets all of his neighbors saying, hey, come, let's have a big party. Because I found the lost sheep. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I found the lost one. I think the story, sometimes we get caught up in the fact that Jesus went after the lost sheep. But here's something beautiful about that story. When he finds the sheep, he doesn't kick the sheep and say, you dumb sheep. Don't you know? Don't you know, you ignoramus sheep, that you could have been hurt out here? There's lions out here. What's wrong with you? I provide food for you. I provide shelter for you, you big dummy. You're a dumb sheep. Just a dumb idiot. Goofball. Worthless. No good for nothing. You made me leave the 99 just to come after you. That's not his heart. He didn't say those words. He said, look, I care about you so much that I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you. I'm going to carry you back to where you belong. I'm going to carry you back to the place. I have a place for you. I have a heart for you. I'm not driving you out. I'm carrying you in. Right. I'm healing what's broken inside of you. I'm loving you to the extent that you know where you belong. When you study about a shepherd, they carry a staff, and on that staff, there's a hook in the staff. And they use that staff for many things, and a lot of times when we see the shepherd's staff, we just think about it's something that the shepherd uses to lean on when he's in the field, which probably got some truth to it. But with that hook in the staff, he uses that to pull the sheep back where they belong. But if a sheep continues to wander and wander and wander, he'll take that staff and he'll hook it around the back of their leg and break their leg. But he doesn't break their leg and then say, well, you're broke. He breaks their leg and then he carries them until they're healed. He carries them until their life is restored and their life is put back together and they know their place of belonging. You see, God's called us to sometimes love on people, not to break people's legs, but to love on people and to carry them in their brokenness back to where they were meant to be. Sometimes in carrying those people in our life of serving the one, listen, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to walk out the days and the hours and the weeks, and it's not always easy to show up all the times that they mess up and you work with them and you give and they go back and they do some of the same things over again, and you got to go beat them again, and you got to take them in your arm, and you got to serve the one. It's not always easy, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It's always rewarding. Because when we see God use us to help them, to help serve them, it does something supernatural in our own lives. And I have a theory. I have a theory for people who are going through life and they're struggling with things. I have this theory that if you get outside yourself and quit focusing on yourself and start serving people, you get healed. Listen, we're like, hey, we shouldn't be carrying nobody because I got my own set of issues. That's the very reason you need to be carrying somebody. The very reason you need to be carrying people is because there's something that God uses in carrying others that works something out of you. They're in that responsibility of being like Him. He heals our brokenness. Now, if any of you have ever come and met with me for a meeting about something going on in your life, you'll know eventually in the meeting I'm going to ask you this question. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? You know what I find out 9 times out of 10 when people get all these problems in their life and they're introspective and everything, you know, they're just looking at themselves. They're looking at all their problems. They're looking at all their weaknesses. They're looking at all their shortcomings. And they get so caught up in looking at themselves. That's all they can see. They don't get better, they get worse. But if they start carrying somebody else, if they start seeing others, if they start thinking about how I could help somebody else, it begins to heal those broken places in their life. Don't you love how Jesus qualified people? Hey, Peter, hey, fisherman, hey, you with the net over there. Do you have a doctorate degree in theology? Hey, you, Peter, do you know how to interpret dreams? Hey, Peter, how about you over there? Do you know anything about the Greek or the Hebrew? Just joking, okay, you can laugh. He didn't ask them about their theology because he saw their heart. And what he said was, what qualifies you is if you're willing to pick up, lay down what you're working with and come follow me and begin to do what I'm doing. That qualifies you. What qualifies us to be the one to serve the other? Just to simply leave what we're doing, pick up where we are, and go do what he's doing. There's no greater example in all the Bible than Jesus himself. He shows us parable after parable, story after story of how important it is just to love the one. It's 1 Peter 4 and 8. I'm reading from the Passion, so it says this, above all. I want everybody to say above all. No, I want you to really say it. I want you to go, above all. Above all. I want you to say it with conviction, like nothing else matters. Above all. Greater than anything else, above all. Above all. Above all of our religious stuff. Above all of our things we do. Above all. Constantly echo God's intense love for one another. Above everything else, wear God's love. Above everything else, shout out about God's grace. Above everything else, love people like he loved us. For love will be the canopy over the multitude of sins. Love will be the very thing that covers a multitude of sins. Now, when that scripture doesn't mean we're going to sweep sin under the cover. We're going to pretend it didn't happen. But love always heals. And where there's brokenness, love always comes through. And love shines on the situation and begins to heal. It's the very thing that heals the heart. And so love that comes and it's a canopy over a multitude of sins, over brokenness and wounds and lies and all the things in life that came to destroy us. That love is a canopy over that that heals the broken. Come on, somebody say, that's a good word. Be compassionate to foreigners without complaining. Don't complain about going to Lowe's. God may be sending you there. I was so convicted after I got back in my car. It's like, Marvin, that's not what you live. It's not what you preach. It's not what you believe. Why do you complain about where God's sending you? You're always, as a woman or man of God, you're always on assignment. Always. You don't have any days off. True. Oh, I'm going to take some days. No, you're not. If you really have the heart of the Father, you're not getting any days off. Listen, I go to places on vacation, nobody knows me, and I'm doing ministry. It's so funny because we've been places before, and my kids would say, do you know everybody everywhere? No, I didn't know them. I just met them. Because we're always on assignment. We're on vacation on the cruise boat. We're on assignment. And we were sitting at this, we was in Cancun this year. We were sitting at the restaurant, and we were eating, young couple, they just got married. I heard them talking about their wedding, and so they were sitting by us, and I was trying to just, you know, focus and pay attention, but the Lord just kept drawing me over there. And so I'm sitting, just me and my wife, and I'm sitting across the table from her, and the Lord just pulling me. It's like pulling. And I told my wife, I said, the Lord speaking to me about this young lady, and I told her what the Lord was saying. And she said, well, tell her. I said, no, I don't think the Lord wants me to tell her. He just wants me to pray. You see, everything God gives you is not to say. Right. We think the prophetic is so people can hear us talk. And I just sit there and intercede over that girl's life. I prayed over her life. I begin to say, God, you know her heart. You know her situation. You know, God. I begin to cover her in prayer. Love covers. Love covers. Love covers. You're always on assignment. You don't get to take a day off. You don't get to have a moment off. God called you to serve the one. He called you to change lives. And wherever he puts you is on purpose. Now, when I say everywhere he puts you is on purpose, not every day you get up and you hear a booming voice. Maybe you get up and go to the same job, but you're there on assignment. And what you have to do is you have to look for purpose. You have to open your eyes and see what God sees. And every spiritual gift is given us to serve others. It's never given us to serve ourselves. God never anointed you to in a spiritual gift so that you can out-preach somebody out, pray somebody out, prophesy somebody out, sing somebody. We're not in competition. Right. Every spiritual he gave to you is a gift to give away. Amen. And as we give these gifts away, it's so amazing because God, in his incredible accounting, God's the incredible, he's the most incredible accountant on earth and in heaven and everywhere else. His accounting records are perfect. And as you give away, he gives more. He multiplies. And when you love people, I'm just going to say this today. If you're here today and you're not feeling loved, I got a remedy for that. Start loving people. You don't have to have like, thus saith the Lord. Your brother over there has no food. Go feed him. Someone has to be a voice. You can look and see if somebody's hungry. You can be in the line at the grocery store and see a little, see maybe a single mom who's counting the dollars trying to figure out how she's going to pay and say, hey, can I pay that bill for you? It might cut into your Disney fund, but God will reimburse big time. You can't outdo God in love.
Amen.
And when you begin to pour out of the very thing that he's given you, he will pour out on you more than you can handle. It's a trust issue. It's to trust God and to say, God, hey, I'll do it all for you. It might be as simple as buying someone a cup of coffee. You know the story of the Good Samaritan? Many passed by, but only one stopped along the way. And in this serving the one, it may very well cost you something. It may very well cost you something on the front end. You're going to have to sometimes pick up the dirty, the wounded, the broken, the bloody, the downtrodden, the one that been hurting. And listen, let's not get our eyes on just serving the poor and thinking it's all about the poor. There's people that's got all the money in the world that need you. Some of the last few weeks, man, I don't know what's going on with me, but God's just been blowing me up about single moms. Every time I get down to pray, I start praying over single moms. I'm talking about pray, like intercessory of prayer. Over single moms. There's needs around us everywhere we are every day. And God wants to use us just to pour out his goodness.
Amen.
And serve the one. So the Good Samaritan, it cost him something. It cost him his time. It cost him his money. It cost him a change of clothes, I'm sure. But he went the extra mile. He not only took the person to where they needed to be to get help, but he said, when I come back this way, I'll stop in. And if there's a debt to be paid, I will pay the debt owed. I'll go the extra mile to serve the one. I don't know the person, but I don't have to know them because I know that they're God's kid. Because we're all God's kids. And when we serve out of the heart of the Father, it may cost us something, but it will be worth it in the end. Galatians 5, worship team, you can come. Galatians 5, 13. It's absolutely clear that God had called you to be free. I want you to listen to this. Look, hear what I'm about to say. It's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. I'm preaching in full circle here today. You want to be free? You want to walk in supernatural freedom? You want to walk in the glory of God? You want to walk in the abundance of God? Don't use this freedom that God has called you out of. Don't use this place that God has called you out of just to be free, but use it to serve one another. I'll be the first to tell you that in all the years of pastoring, when people come to me and they're going through a divorce or they're or a child comes to me and their parents are going through a divorce, I just do my best to help them. But I don't really relate to that because I've never been through one, and my mom and dad has never been through one, and my in-laws. It's not connected personally to me. So I can't really say, or someone comes to me and they've lost a child. I can't honestly say I know how you feel because I don't. But I know God knows how they feel. And I lead them to the Father. He begins to restore their soul. But let me tell you something. You bring me somebody that's been strung out on drugs or alcohol. You bring me a prodigal son that's been in the pig pen. And man, it turns my Holy Spirit on high. I can minister to that. I can speak into their life. I've been down that road. I know where they live. I know the hurt they've been through. I know the pain. I know the addiction is not something you could just turn off. I know all of those things that can minister to them. But I'm saying this for a reason today, because it's like this. When we learn to walk in what we've come out of, we learn to help others. It's like a tapestry of grace, of beautiful colors. And it's woven together for the purpose of showing the complete glory of God. And what you've been through is not, your mess becomes somebody else's miracle. Your brokenness becomes somebody else's miracle. The pain that you've walked through is now becomes part of your purpose. Because God takes all the fragmented pieces that the enemy brought to destroy you, and he uses them for his abundance and his glory. God called us to serve the one. He called us to look around us and get our eyes open. Scripture said the field is wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And so many times we think, okay, well, let's just call up. Hey, we need everybody to show up at church next week. We're going to go labor. No, you live in the harvest field. You live in the very purpose of God. And you may be sitting here today thinking, you know, Pastor, look, my life is so messed up. I can never do anything for God. Oh, really? Well, just let me talk to you just a minute. What about Peter? He was a train wreck. What about David? What about David? He was a mess. David took the broken pieces of people's, Jesus took the broken pieces of people's life, and he used it as a tapestry of grace and mercy to weave together the body. And he's chosen you this morning not just to be filled, but to be poured out. And there's no greater joy than that. So, Pastor, how do I get to that place? Let's not get caught up in our busy lives of doing and buying and selling and going through our commerce and just doing the same old things over and over that we don't see the one that God's called us to. God will take you out of your comfort zone. He'll take you out of that place where you feel so comfortable and so rested and so just, you know, I'm not talking about holy rest. I'm talking about he'll take you out of those places where you've just become at ease, and he'll put you into places where he's like, this is your moment. I just feel like speaking in this today. I just feel a sense of this in the room today. I want to say today to the enemy, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the liar, the father of all lies, who's tried to tell you you're disqualified. I'm telling you today, you're qualified. The grace of God on your life qualifies you. The goodness of God on your life qualifies you. The storm you've rode through qualifies you. But what qualifies you even more than that, than all of those things, is before the worlds were framed, He knew you and He had a plan for your life. And that qualifies you above everything else. And there's so much life in our giving. So much life in our pouring out. So how do I get there? It comes with surrender. And look, sometimes we say surrender, it becomes even a churchy word. I surrender, Lord. No, it's surrendering today. It's surrendering tomorrow. It's surrendering in the next 30 minutes. It's surrendering in the moment, is surrendering. It's a constant surrender. It's a constant place of saying, God, I'm yours.